All right, Chichos, did you know that scientists now openly say that your gut is the cornerstone of your health? And it's not just about digestion, okay? The gut literally affects everything from your energy levels to mood to weight management and even your longevity. However, an imbalanced microbiome can sneakily sabotage you with constant bloating, sluggish energy, and those stubborn extra pounds that you just can't lose no matter what. But here's the kicker. Fixing your gut bacteria isn't rocket science. It is the game changer for reclaiming your vibe and living your best damn life. And that is where Bioma steps in, delivering powerhouse supplements like their flagship probiotics for killer digestion and weight control, the Feminine Health Symbiotic to keep things balanced down there, and menopause support to crush hot flashes and mood swings. Their science-backed trio of prebiotics, probiotics, and postbiotics work like a gut reset button, all in vegan, tasteless capsules with a no BS 14-day money-back guarantee so you can try it risk-free, okay? So go to gobioma.com/adulttrial today for an extra 15% off your order. That is gobioma.com/adulttrial and get an extra 15% off. Everyone else got the manual and you're just winging it. There's this specific kind of loneliness that comes from growing up in a dysfunctional family. It's not just feeling alone, it's feeling like you don't quite fit in anywhere. Like everyone else got the manual on how to belong and you're just out here winging it, performing your way through connection and hoping no one notices you don't actually know what you're doing. For most of us, it started at home. We didn't feel safe being our full selves in our own families. Maybe we're the scapegoat, the identified patient, the one who was too sensitive or too much, or somehow always the problem. Or maybe our family looked fine from the outside, but we still felt like an outsider in our own home, unseen, unheard, like we were taking up space we didn't quite deserve. The message we internalized, unconsciously or not, was there's something wrong with me. I don't fit in. That feeling didn't stay in childhood. It followed us into school, into friendships, into every relationship we've ever had. We either tried desperately to fit in, fawning, people-pleasing, shape-shifting into whoever we thought people wanted, or we pulled away entirely and decided, I'm just not a belonging kind of person. Maybe we had friends, maybe even looked social, but underneath it all, we felt like imposters. Like we were performing connection, not actually experiencing it, how it shows up today. Overfunctioning in relationships, always being the one who shows up, gives plans, remembers, because deep down you're afraid that if you stop performing, people will stop choosing you. Chronic imposter syndrome. Even when you're succeeding, even when you're wanted, you feel like a fraud who's about to be found out. Difficult receiving, compliments, help, love, because you're not sure you actually deserve it. Feeling like you're on the outside looking in, even in rooms where you're included, even with people who genuinely care about you. Self-isolating, because if you don't try to belong, you can't be rejected. The lies we tell ourselves, some of the stories we carry that aren't true. I'm too much, not enough. If people really knew me, they'd leave me. I'm fundamentally broken in a way that makes me unfit for belonging. I have to earn it. That's the one's the biggest. Belonging isn't supposed to be earned. It's supposed to be given. But some of the reasons it's hard are real and valid. Your nervous system is wired for hypervigilance, not connection. You're scanning danger, not safety. You never learned what secure belonging feels like. So even when it's offered, your body doesn't recognize it. Vulnerability feels life-threatening. Being fully seen means being fully at risk. You're grieving. You're grieving the belonging you never had, and that makes it hard to let in what's available now. Cultivating belonging actually looks like. Belonging starts with belonging to yourself, which means notice when you're performing versus being, practicing boundaries even when it's uncomfortable, and letting yourself take up space. It also means practicing being seen without performing, letting someone witness you, your mess, your grief, your anger, your exhaustion, and not rushing to make it easier for them. Notice where you're overgiving to earn belonging. What would it feel like to pull back and see if other people show up? And here's the hardest one. Let yourself feel belonging when it's happening, even if it's uncomfortable, even if your nervous system wants to reject it. This group, this belonging, showing up messy and real and still being here. That's what it looks like. So I'm not one of those people that like always felt different than other kids, or just like never really felt they belonged everywhere. But there was a real desperate and like needy craving for belonging, though, like as early as like the first grade, when that girl would like come into school every day, and some days she was nice and some days that she was mean, and I just like put up with it because I just had this desperate need to fit in. And then I was thinking about how it was like in the fourth and fifth grade, there was like the three most popular girls, and when one of them wouldn't come to school, like they were so sick, I got to like sub in to be the third person. And I just remember being like, when I'd find out they didn't come to school that day, like just being so like so excited. But then I think also like the drugs and alcohol, starting that like at the age of 12, I think that that was also an attempt to belong. I mean, I would even tell people that I drank and did drugs before I even did it because I wanted to seem cool. And I think that like when I gave that blowjob in the seventh grade, like I think that too, that was an attempt to feel like I belonged. And then it just completely backfired and ripped away all sense of belonging. And that line in the reading where it says, I'm fundamentally broken in a way that makes me unfit for belonging. I didn't feel that. I think my system did a really, really, really good job of like blocking me from that shame to where I just sort of had this attitude like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I don't care if I don't belong, to really like block me from feeling that shame. And then also, too, I remember being a senior in high school and sitting alone at my computer drinking a 40 of Steel Reserve by myself while everyone else my own age was like doing fun things and out parties, whether it was spring break, New Year's Eve. But I really just thought it was because my reputation was sort of tarnished and that everything would be different once I got a fresh start and went to college. And then that wasn't the case. It's sometimes it would take a person one time of hanging out with me to cut me off, or maybe I'd get, yeah, I don't know, a week or two. And then each time that happened, though, it just reinforced this belief that like I just don't belong. And I remember when I joined AA, when I got sober, I had this fear that I'm just somebody that people don't like. Like that's just who I am. And that didn't turn out to be the case at all. And like the sense of belonging that I felt in the first, I don't know, 5 years of my sobriety, every night we were doing some sort of fellowship. And it was so fun. Like the sense of belonging that I felt, it was the happiest years of my life. And like learning that I am somebody that people like. But so today, I have a deep, deep, deep desire for belonging. I would say that this is the only place right now, this community, where I do feel that soul nourishing sense of belonging. I really would like to experience that though in other arenas. But what I do know is that I don't need belonging just for the sense of belonging. I'm not going to be somebody else to belong. And it's just a very certain type of belonging that is rich and deep and real and fulfilling. And I don't want anything that's not that. And I'm at peace with that.
Hey, fam. I miss you so much. It's been like 2 weeks and I miss you so much. And I have phenomenal news. Everything's better. I'm perfect and fixed and don't need to come to group anymore. Just kidding. But
Yay.
my trip to my parents went great. It went so great. And for those of you who know my story, circa 2 years ago in May, had the biggest blow up. It was like the culmination of all of my ACA stuff coming together and exploding everywhere. And that's exactly what needed to happen. Like I got to, because of that hard work I've done, because of learning those boundaries, because of setting those boundaries and sticking to them, I got to have a much better experience. We didn't get anywhere near politics, which was really hard because I was like at the No Kings protest like the week before, and I was like, that's for sure coming up. But don't need to tell my mom that I'm out there chanting in the streets. But we didn't go there, and it was fine. And I felt I had to talk to my therapist about like almost like a moral failing complex in my mind of not, because I'm like the two people that if I can convert them, if I can fix them, if I can save them, that's change that I can make, and realizing that I can't save them. nor is it my job to save them. And I can just have this base level relationship with them and have that be okay because I'm enough as is. Like that is what program has taught me, is that I'm enough, I am valid, I am loved on my own, that the love that I can receive from them is the best that they can do, and that's all that they can do. And it wasn't enough. And to like validate that part of my childhood, that like it should have been different, but it wasn't. And I have a hard time with feeling like my feelings matter, like many of us, I'm sure. But I got really let down at work this week, and I actually ended up talking to my whole maintenance team about it, and I let them know how disappointed I was, and I let them know how that it hurts, and that I was pissed about it. And I have a really hard time showing other people I'm pissed. Usually, I'm like, no, no worries, you know, no worries. I'm like, there were worries. It was stupid. It shouldn't have gone there. And I was able to, here's the kicker, let it go. I like said my piece and I let them know how I felt. And it mattered to me. And it didn't matter what they reacted because I knew that I had done the right thing. And it's gone better. And I'm going to take tomorrow off because why fucking not? I haven't taken a day off in a long time, 3 day weekends. And I don't have, my boyfriend is like, what are you going to do? I'm like, it doesn't matter, nothing. And I get to do that because I don't have to overcompensate at work anymore. Like, I know that I'm okay. I know that because of this group, because of my like gay AA community, I've got belonging, I've got friends, I've got so many incredible things that are just this crazy, beautiful life that I never thought. So like if you're in it, if you're in the trenches doing this work, like I have been there, I get it, I fucking know it. It is valid. You are okay. Keep coming back. Keep coming back because it only changes if we change it. And that can be hard because it can feel like we're running on this hamster wheel of doing the same thing over and over again, but like we learn by practicing, and we don't have to be perfect at it right away. We just get to try a little bit and do a little bit better than yesterday. And it adds up over time to where I can say today, like, my life is so different. And I never thought that possible. You guys have seen me at my worst here, and I never thought it would get better. It was just so depressing and so shitty. And like, the shit show is better together. So, like, I'm so grateful for this group. I'm so grateful for all of you. If no one told you today, you are loved, you are valuable. You fucking belong here. So thanks. Great to see you all. Love you much.
Hey everyone. I feel really self-conscious sharing because I feel like a bit of a broken record in a sense, but this whole process of detaching from my marriage and like grieving it is tedious. So the lately I've been really thinking about how I guess like metabolizing how much I overfunctioned to earn the belonging in my relationship with my husband. And earlier today, I was re more reflecting on the pivot that I made from doing the overfunctioning and like when I was going through like my traumatic situation at work, and he kind of like completely jumped ship and was like, hey, if you can't figure your shit out and like secure a job so I can feel comfortable, like I'm not willing to figure out how to emotionally support you. Like that was like a huge pivot for me. And like not right away, it was like grad, but like it started gradually happening where I was like, okay, like if you're telling me that I have to earn belonging and support from you, and you're unwilling, and all the things I've done up to this point haven't, like, I don't know, it was just like a big transition for me. So it feels really good to like think about all of the overfunctioning that I've shed over the past 2 years in our relationship. And like even before this meeting, I was like going to get in the shower, and my husband waits until I'm ready to come up to do the meeting to like start bedtime. But he's like, hey, Ashley, can you fill up Camille's water? And I was like, no. And I shut the door behind me. It's like, if you haven't filled the water, like go to downstairs to fill it. But, it just felt really good to just be like, no, and just leave it there. And, kind of reflecting back to the question of like, where can I belong as my full self? And I think I guess when I think back to my bridal party, all of those women have been really close friends for a long time, and they're still really close friends. And, it's like with each of them, I've always felt like I can be my full self. And I also think since I started doing this work, I've been able to show up even more as my full self. Like, it's always been welcome with them. And I've always felt that, but I've sort of like shed some of the reservations that I had about maybe like sharing certain things. So it feels really good to like still have that like core group of friends that I can really like talk to about anything. And so yeah, I guess with each of those friends, I felt true belonging. And I think, it was like maybe 5 or 6 months into being in this community where I felt like true belonging in just like a wider community, but also where I started really feeling true belonging with myself, which was really huge, like probably the first time ever. And there's this weird, I don't know, just figuring out how to be in relationship with my husband's family has been really tricky over the last few months. Like when my husband was in Turkey for a week and a half, his cousin had reached out a couple of times to like say, hey, we should get together while he's gone. And then when he was gone, like they offered to do something on a weeknight and then on the weekend. And we had other things going on. And by, I guess, going on, I just mean like we were like in a flow at home. So I didn't really want to do it on a weeknight. And we had other plans on the weekend. And so I guess I like struggle with figuring out like, am I not letting myself belong there with them? But at the same time, it also doesn't feel like a genuine offer. Like it feels like an offer because they should. And we live so close to one another and the kids like to play, but it doesn't feel like a genuine offer to me personally. And so that has felt really tricky trying to figure that out, like with his cousin who lives like down the street from us, but also with my mother-in-law and my sister-in-law. And I'm sure it will take a while to kind of iron things out, but that has just felt really weird. And I do constantly find myself wondering, like, do I actually belong here, or had I previously earned the belonging with them and now I no longer have it? So that's been weird. But thank you all for listening.
Hello, everybody. Excited to be here on a Thursday. I got sick this week, so I shouldn't probably go sing in a group full of people. So I decided to stay home and come to group. I don't love this topic. It's one that I wanted to talk about because it makes me uncomfortable. But I have a really difficult time being anything other than like independent or like one-on-one with people. And it's because it feels like groups have a certain gravity to them around like what's acceptable and what is not. And in my family dynamic, that meant that it was a race to the bottom at all times. Like if you weren't the most miserable person in the room, then you better shut up. And like, you know, if you didn't have a knife in your head, then you probably weren't as unhappy as my dad, who hated his entire existence. And that has plagued me for my entire life because I think to survive that environment, I have developed a sincere and unstoppable sense of optimism about life because that was the only way to like make it through. And so it's not from a place of like toxic positivity, but I just kind of tend to see the world as a place of opportunity and a belief in myself that I will get past whatever it is I'm going through. And it hasn't failed me yet. And I find that oftentimes people don't get that and they don't appreciate that. And they oftentimes hate that because they would rather be uncomfortable in their self-made kind of misery than to understand like the dynamic they have with themselves in their life. And all of that, but I digress. It has made it really hard for me to keep showing up in life in times when things are good with other people. I think the past couple of months, life has been excellent on my end. I've not really struggled with much, except for I look around and I'm like, oh, I'm like by myself a lot. And part of that too, I think I've kind of stepped away here for a little bit, not only to like see where I'm at, but like because I'm doing well, I feel guilty about taking up space and like speaking in this forum because it does, there's a lot of people going through some really serious shit here. And I believe that everybody deserves to have their story heard and their experience to be validated. And for some reason, when I feel like things are going well for me, it's not, I don't extend that to myself. And I feel like a lot of the reason why things are going so well is because of this community. And so, in a way, it's almost unfair to stop showing up when things are going well, because I think people deserve to know that, like, sometimes things are good and you can enjoy them. And I think this community being a place where you get support and you figure things out and you face hard things with other people, you all deserve to like see me and to see me in a good period of my life and know that things are going well. And it's really hard for me to say that because it feels like I'm like, oh, look at me, like things are great. And that's really tough for me because in thinking that about myself, I make my life harder and I make it worse for myself because I then start to shrink and I start to disappear. And joining the call on Tuesday and being like, oh, Sam's here, and like everybody was excited. That like felt really good. And like at work today, I connected with a couple of people that I haven't talked to in a while, and they're like, oh, it's so great to like talk to you, all this kind of stuff. And it's just, it's nice to be in a time in my life where I'm seeing these moments where things are good and like things are positive and things are happy. And it's taken a lot of work to allow that in. I'm like a big crier, and a lot of my experience has been around just like letting myself feel so uncomfortably, experience things that make me uncomfortable in positive ways to a point where I can like tolerate them. Because I think a lot of like self-sabotage stems from not being able to tolerate those experiences, and they look bad in the moment. And then like as you kind of progress, it's really difficult. But I don't know, I felt like it was important for me to show up and to speak out because I, in not doing so, I'm like backsliding a little bit, I think, by not letting myself be seen. I won't say that like everything's perfect. I am still like working through some stuff with just like life things like money and food and anything else that one does. My relationship with my mom is still, it's in a really good place, but she just lost her mom. So like navigating that whole thing has been interesting. But I think this place is really important, and being here, I think that part of me thinks if things are going well, that I'm like healed, I'm like good. And I don't think that's a reality that we get to come to, at least not in the near term. There's always going to be a seed of adult childness in us that causes us to suffer or inflict harm upon ourselves in some kind of way. And by isolating myself away from people that I care about and people that I genuinely like enjoy spending time with and like feel important to my story, is doing myself harm. And so I'm trying to navigate how to show up with people in my life in a way that allows me to just like be myself, which is happy and in a good spot and enjoying myself and not shrinking that to an extent where I have to like dampen it and be like a wet blanket. And so with that, I think I'll end my share there, but I appreciate you all letting me speak, and I'm glad to be here, and I'm excited to hear everybody else's shares. Thank you.
All right, shit shows. Did you know that iron deficiency is one of the most common nutritional gaps? It affects 1 in 3 adults, and especially women. It often shows up as fatigue, brain fog, weakness, brittle nails. But the problem is that most people don't realize that low iron may be the cause of these issues. That's why I'm here to tell you about Siderol from Pharma Nutra. This is a premium iron supplement powered by patented sucrosomial technology, which helps your body absorb 3 to 4 times more iron while also avoiding the common side effects of traditional iron supplements like nausea, constipation, and all that fun stuff. It is clinically proven to be comparable to IV iron and is formulated with just 2 ingredients, iron and vitamin C. It's vegan, allergen-free, gluten-free. You can take it anytime, anywhere. So if you're that 1 out of 3 with an iron deficiency, head to pharmanutra-us.com and use code ADULTCHILD for 10% off your first order. That is pharmanutra-us.com, promo code ADULTCHILD for 10% off today. All right, Shisha, so I have been talking to you about Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth, the supplement that helps women maintain optimal hormonal levels with over 50,000 glowing reviews from women worldwide, with 98% of them saying they would recommend it to somebody else. Now you can take those results even further by pairing it with their probiotic collagen protein, which helps restore gut lining integrity, promoting overall hormonal balance. It helps to relieve occasional bloating and gas, reduce sugar cravings. It helps you feel satisfied longer, boost your energy. It helps to relieve occasional gas and bloating, reduce sugar cravings, keeps you feeling satisfied longer, boost your energy, and helps you stabilize those damn mood swings. And because your gut directly affects your hormones, improving gut health can amplify your hormone harmony results so you can feel like yourself again. And so I struggle with brain fog. I'm sure many of y'all can relate. And since I've been taking the prebiotic collagen protein, I've noticed a big difference there, as well as just a lift in my overall energy levels. Happy Mammoth is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromises when it comes to quality, and it shows, folks. So right now you can try prebiotic collagen protein and Hormone Harmony risk-free and get 15% off your entire first order today with code ADULTCHILD at checkout. That is happymammoth.com. Use code ADULTCHILD to get 15% off today. The countdown is on, shit shows. Holiday shopping season is officially here, and Uncommon Goods takes the stress out of gifting with thousands of unique, high-quality finds you won't find anywhere else. Don't wait. The most meaningful gifts get scooped up fast, and now's the perfect time to cross names off your list. Uncommon Good looks for products that are high-quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the U.S. Many are crafted by independent artists and small businesses, making every gift feel meaningful and truly one of a kind. Let me tell you about something that I recently found for a friend of mine. It is a birth month gemstone and flower candle. So she is also a January birthday like me. So it's garnet and the smell is carnation, flowers, herbs, crystals, and essential oils all coming together in this really beautiful candle. And as I've said before, Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms to dads to kids and teens. Book lovers, history buffs, diehard football fans, foodies, mixologists, and avid gardeners, you'll find thousands of new gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else. I mean it. So don't wait. Cross those damn names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/adultchild. That's uncommongoods.com/adultchild for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Thank you, everyone, for your shares. This is another great topic that I'm going to be talking about in therapy tomorrow. I don't even know where to start, because it's just like I'm having all of these realizations as I'm sitting here, and I don't know how to not perform connection. Like, that is so embarrassing to say out loud, and like, ugh, but it's like, it's true. I'm like a freaking adult, and I don't know how to, you know, I don't know. It's just like, it's a mind fuck. But at home, you know, yeah, it definitely started at home, I feel like, because it's confusing though. But like with my mom, I remember feeling like, for the most part, most days, like belonging with her. You know, we were okay, comfortable together. But if she wasn't home, or if I had to be somewhere by myself with my dad and or my middle sister, I, like, just thinking about it, I have this like sick, sour feeling in my stomach. And just like, I never felt like I belonged there. I was the outsider. I was like the, you know, the moldy cheese in the room that shouldn't be there. And that's probably where I'm sure that's a big core wound there. And, we moved around a lot. My dad was in the military, so that was always hard with making friends. And especially, we went the years that we moved, it was always in like the middle of like elementary school or whatever. And very intimidating to like come into new schools and to like meet kids. And I already felt like I didn't belong because, I'm like the newbie. Like you come in as a first grader and then coming in as a third grader, it's like everyone's already like made their crew. That was something that I felt like was really important with my kids, was that I never, as much as I could, I never wanted to have them feel that way because it's just, yeah, it's hard. Like I remember I felt like I never was Asian enough to like hang out with the Asian girls, like, cause I didn't know how to speak Chinese. Like I'm part Chinese, but, and I'm sure it was all in my head. I don't know. But like, I just felt like I remember trying to like hang out with them and I wasn't enough. I didn't fit in there. And I did find my friends. Like I've always had friends. I've always had a lot of friends. But then now I'm thinking like wondering like, man, is I think that I was performing as like a social person, I had so many I don't know if masks is the right word, but like I definitely can shape shift, and but it's all surface level, and it's kind of unsettling to realize that. But I recently, I've had the realizations that like I just have my standard surface level, statements, and I always have, and like I'm dying inside because it's exhausting performing. And like now I'm really struggling with like my like group of best girls who they're probably the first, group of girls that like I really truly did feel belonging, and they know what's going on, but like still when I'm vulnerable, it's still really scary. And I'm just like always worried that if I share things or if they see me for who I really am, like a dark side, like that I'm distorting the image that they had of me. And I'm not going to belong then. And I'm not the person, I'm not Kristen who they thought I was. And it's really scary. This group is honestly, swear to God, the first time that I ever felt truly, truly like accepted and belonged to people without any judgment. I will never forget that first group meeting that I sat in where I just was like, oh my gosh, these are my people. Like it was wild and really, really life-changing. And a huge, huge milestone in my healing. And I cannot imagine going through all of this without you guys. And I do appreciate, when people come in and they're sharing their progress and when you're doing good, because it gives me hope that like it's possible. And then I also appreciate, when we show up as our messes because it helps validate my mess. And I think that is the hardest part for me is showing that crazy tricolor tornado Kristen. And I even get so embarrassed when I come into my therapist's office like that. I'm like, Tornado Kristen's here today. And she made me actually say out loud why I felt like what was going on, which I hated that question because I had to like actually name it and like accept it and say it out loud. But it was like, I'm too much, I'm too loud, I'm too angry, I'm too this, I'm too that, I'm not good enough. And it was all the things that I heard growing up. And that I just feel like I don't deserve acceptance, that I don't deserve success. I do not do well with compliments. They make me really uncomfortable. I've really tried to be better with it. And then I feel bad when I don't accept a compliment in a way that I feel like the person was wanting to me to accept it. But I think that there's other layers with that as well.
Hey, thanks, Andrea. You're welcome to use this. I'm not sure how relevant it will be. I'm worried for how sprawling this share is going to be. But sorry, my heart's like pounding. I feel like I've been doing pretty good recently. With help from this community, I feel like I've made some inroads with internal family systems work. Like I've been able to maintain a sense of curiosity that really wasn't there. I've just been so results oriented that it's like I wanted to find all of these parts of myself and then fix all these problems and just like get it all over with, like, quickly. And Yeah, I was really happy that I could maintain that sort of calm and curiosity for so long. And a big thing for me, I found this part that I labeled as like hopeless and despairing, you know, and checking in with it only a few times that kind of let me know that I had this sort of belief that I'll never get help or something like that. It's like this part was upset that when I was young, never asked for help, and so I never got it, and so you know my family never gave it to me, and you know, and trying to reflect that back to this part and know that I understood it was what it was saying. It was like, no, that part was also talking about love too, and I understood that immediately as well, and it's like I've been really tunneling in with that with my therapist in my free time. So it was such a preoccupation when I was a kid. It was like I was thinking about like all these journal entries just talking about when I was a kid. It was like I escaped in these like fantasy worlds where it was like I don't know. I'm sure other people were like this. It was like I would like fantasize about like love, you know, about like belonging with like imaginary friends or something like that. Like not my family. Like it could be like the weirdest shit. It could be so grounded one moment, and then it could be like, I don't know. It's just like I think about like a 6-year-old kid. It's like you just want to go do karate in the backyards against bad guys. And here I was like daydreaming about like finding love and feeling accepted or something like that. But I don't know. Even saying that, it's like I carry like a huge, like I'm embarrassed to say it. You know, it's fine. Like it's the reality of the situation. But like I don't know. I could turn that over and over forever. But anyways, and kind of chewing on that and thinking about these cycles I've lived through recently of some sort of like not emotional anorexia, but just of like binging and restraint. It's like every time I try to improve my life, it's like getting rid of something I think is bad and then restraining it. And then when I behave myself for a little bit, I treat myself with a binge, and it's like it just keeps happening. And but it's like I see the cycle, you know, which is progress. But in talking about it with my therapist, like he noted, he's talking about like, you know, these are all just like counterfeit measures for finding love, you know. And it's so obvious, and I agree, but it stung a bit to hear that, you know. It's like, oh, so like all these current desires I have to write and all these things, all the things that interest me, it's like it's all counterfeit, you know. That's not all necessarily true, but I don't know, it feels kind of enormous. But talking about escaping that cycle, he recommended a self-help book to me that essentially it's about intergenerational trauma, and the foreword, the author's talking about seeking resolution and being told by different spiritual gurus and whoever to go home and reconcile with his parents. And like I knew when he said that, I was like, don't fucking do this to me, man. And so what did I do? I went out and bought the book and read the first 70 pages in one sitting. And I guess I'm here sharing because it feels so bad and humiliating to have been hijacked by these feelings of rage and disgust so quickly that come from this author talking about like, and I'm being kind of glib here, I know, but talking about going home and hugging his mom, even though he didn't want to, and finally being to accept her love and feel it. And it's like, I can tell myself that I'll do like anything to get better, but it's like something in me is so fucking pissed that that solution is still being offered to me. And I think it's upsetting to me because it's like the emotional d neglect thing. It's like it's like I'm driving myself crazy because it's like in the current moment, my mom is like texting me trying to make plans for Thanksgiving. And it's like in my head, I'm just like, I guess what I'm trying to say, the thought of going home and hugging my mom until I cry or being vulnerable with my family, I'd rather fucking die, you know? Like that's how it feels. I don't mean that genuinely, but it's just, it's, our family is so quiet. They don't know me at all. I don't know them at all, you know? And it's like I'm driving myself crazy because I can't find the fuel to break free of them entirely, but like right now I can just hear the wind howling in my skull of like having this strange relationship forever, and it's like sapping energy out of me, and I'm trying to figure out what to do. And I guess a part of me is also just humiliated because maybe I'm so scared of even starting that conversation, you know? Like I don't know what the conversation would be. I guess I'm also scared because, you know, if I brought up some list of injuries and wounds and resentments towards my mom, you know, like what if she apologized and did change, and then I realized I didn't want a relationship with her or something, like then I'm just a terrible person. And it's like so many different ways to spiral out, you know? But yeah, I just feel robbed because I felt like I was doing great, and then I read a shitty book for 2 hours, and it's like I had to email my therapist today and be like, you have to give me something else. Like I refuse to like concede this much territory off of this one idea. And it's like that sucks, you know. But feels really good to share it here. I love being here, talking about places I belong. Like always look forward to coming here because I don't have to perform. You know what I mean? Like I live in a place where a lot of my closest friends come from other programs, and I, to be honest, sometimes I dread it because it feels like I have to pretend to be some emotional Jedi. You know, I get sick of feeling like I have to adhere to a code, and here it's just, it's so fucking raw, you know? Like the it's hard to describe that sense of safety to anyone listening who's not a part of the shit show, but yeah, I'm really grateful for you all. So yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you for that, Trevor. That was awesome. I would like to talk about something I briefly mentioned last time I was here, and that was I've been going through some physical therapy recently, and I have been having emotional flashbacks after my sessions, and just trying to figure out what the hell that's all about. And also, I had planned it. And I was so freaking nervous to do it, but I also went to my physical therapist and I said, hey, we need to have a conversation before we get started. And I told him what was going on. And luckily, he's very familiar with trauma recovery and the idea of the body keeping score. And I was like, yeah, it appears that the thing we're working on right now has got a little scorecard stuck in the joint. So I might have unexpected reactions to stuff, and he could not have been more gracious and caring. And I'm very optimistic about being able to work through this. And I told him, look, I do not expect you to be my counselor through this. I have support for that. I just want you to be aware that this is a thing that's happening with me next to what we're doing. And it was amazing. And so I've been trying to just like feel the feelings and see what the hell is going on with me. Because after the sessions, the worst one, I came home and I just felt profoundly sad and shut down. And I couldn't eat. I could barely stay awake. And I did end up taking a nap for a little while and felt better when I woke up. And just like sitting there feeling it and waiting for memories to come up. And the memory that came back to me was a little time travel. And my God, the topics this week have been amazing. And last week that I needed to that I was time traveling back to when I was 12. And I think, you know, a lot of times when I get one of these flashbacks, I can't pinpoint a thing that would cause me to feel that way. But this time I went there and It was, again, another topic that we've been over this week, fawning, that I had been just in a desperate attempt to get some kind of positive attention from my father, was fawning the shit out of him, and I'm sure it was very annoying. And instead of just being, look, what do you need? What do you want from me? Or just acknowledging that I wanted something from him, he just emotionally backhanded me and just like he said terrible, vicious things, and I was devastated. And that's how my body feels in this emotional flashback. And for me to just realize and pinpoint the moment is a new thing. I remember how it felt back then, and how it felt back then was a million times worse because I didn't have a name for it. I didn't know why I felt that way. I didn't know that it would ever end. I didn't know who I could talk to about it. I had no one I could talk to about it. And all of those things are different now. And the specific person who was helping me get through it knows about it, and I felt safe telling him, holy crap, my life has transformed. Whether I feel this shitty feeling or not, I have all this wonderful support on my side. So that where the memory and the thing that's taking over my body sometimes is a feeling of complete emotional abandonment and loneliness and hurt and rejection, I have the opposite of that all around me, and all I have to do is let it in, instead of repressing and just trying to be a badass and trying to pretend I don't feel anything, and trying to like pick fights with boys on the playground instead of just crying and getting over with. So that's what I've been doing. The overperforming, I do want to talk about that because that's one of the things that I also do in response to feeling rejected and alone. And I don't call it overperforming, I call it pathological self-reliance, because that is when I do not want anyone to know that if I'm sick, if I'm hurt, if I'm sad, if I can't do something, fuck off. You can't know those things. And that's not good for you. That's not good for me. It's not healthy. So anyway, I guess that's it. I know we're over time, and thank you all who stayed with the session and listened.
Let it all go. What's making you slow now? Don't let it go.